You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 216. I'm Dan Hemp.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week we have a dearth of tournament reports, would you say? We have a plethora?
Indeed.
All right. More
a veritable cornucopia.
I've got a 1E online tournament to talk about. We played first edition sealed DS9 Emissary on Saturday. We can both talk about that because we both played. In fact,
yeah.
We played each other. Then I played in the TUI event while you played a solo Serenity game.
Among other things.
And then after that we played Tribbles.
Among other things. And that was so many people we had to have two tables.
That's right.
It was awesome.
And you were at the other table, so you can talk about that and I can talk about my table. Did you wrap up any online events?
I didn't wrap it up, but I feel like I can speak about it without really ruining anything, because there is nothing on this earth that could possibly make this tournament go any worse for me.
Oh, right. So, that doesn't sound good.
It's... I'll admit... When I saw Emissary coming out card by card and looking at it all together, I was like, okay, I kind of kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, the other good shoe to drop, you know, something to really power it through. And not that it was bad, it just wasn't there yet. And I don't feel like anything ever quite hit. And looking at all the pieces, I kept imagining how it would go together and thinking, I don't know if this is going to quite be enough to compete. I don't feel like it's going to get there.
Yeah.
It's cute and it's fun, but it's not going to stand on its own. Looking at it, I don't think I couldn't see why I would play that instead of playing regular Deep Space Nine the way we've always done it. Certainly not with the way... TNG has been on a tear. And I know there was an errata, and that was supposed to throw them back so that everything would be on a more even playing field. So I was eager to try out this block tournament because it was the first shot of Emissary in kind of a controlled environment. I had kind of hoped that everybody would be playing Deep Space Nine and we can kind of get a handle on it. But instead, I sat down... And my first game, and I got one turn, and I played two guys because I didn't want to overthrottle myself, because if you play more than two guys or more than one for free, then your whole house of cards falls apart. So I played two guys and drew two cards, and my opponent, who was playing a TNG deck, which is not really a spoiler of any kind, dropped seven guys, flew over to my station, beat everyone up, took it over, couldn't take it over because I did actually have... Oh, wait, no. They did take it over because I'm thinking of a different deck. So I couldn't play any guys on my second turn because I didn't want them to die. His second turn, he went and solved two missions with another five guys, so he had 12 guys out floating around. So I had my third time, I played two guys, and then he went and solved the third mission.
So you got about five guys, six guys out, and he had about a dozen guys and solved three missions, and that was it.
Yeah, we had 2.5 hours to play, and we were done in like 45 minutes.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. Did the next round go any better?
It was more interesting because my opponent was also playing not the continuing mission, whatever the... Was it Reshaping the Quadrant? A Reshaping the Quadrant deck. But It felt a lot more like Premiere, like accelerated Premiere.
Okay.
So instead of play one, draw one, it was play two, draw two.
Sure. Did you do any downloading at all of personnel, or was the losing your only two card draws too much of a penalty?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole reason you don't play all these guys is so you can keep that card draw. And then if you go and download a guy, you know, you lose everything. So I don't know. I was kind of horrified. You know, I was learning it at the same time too. So I'll admit I was a little behind the curve as well. But losing, I guess I had remembered reading everything, but I didn't remember what cards, what mechanics were on what cards. And I couldn't believe that the draw mechanic and the universal play mechanic were both on the same card that you lose.
Mm-hmm.
if you step out of bounds. And I was like, so basically you just blow everything up. You do, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. I've heard stories, people say that they play tested relatively evenly with D&G decks in testing, but I can't even imagine how. You know, maybe there are much better players than me playing, and I'm sure there are because most people are, but I just look at that and I go, couldn't this have been, you know, if you play more than one person for free, this you don't get a card draw, or, you know, get a card draw, you know, kind of like the We Are the Board, you know, you get an extra guy for free, play a universal for free this turn, or draw an extra card at the end of the turn, but not both. But doing it once and then having it be gone forever, especially in block, you know, now maybe in open or in OTF, it's a little more balanced because you're going to have other card draw engines and other places to play. But particularly in block, you know, dropping two when your opponent's dropping, you know, seven was a good turn for him, but like, you know, four or five guys, you're going to be behind the eight ball real fast.
Yeah, I don't think I would go with that card in any constructed deck ever. It worked out well in sealed when that's all both players had, but I don't think I would ever try to build a deck around it. That's just not something I would. That's too much of a handicap.
Yeah, I mean, until I was in play, it did not click in my brain that I was like, oh, okay, this is the attention all hands equivalent.
Sure, yeah, I could see that. I mean, it does look, it, you know, on the surface, it does look the same, but it's yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so.
Did you play around with the Celestial Temple at all for a draw engine?
No, particularly in a block format, I didn't have enough guys that I knew would be able to run it. You know, you have to have an orb personnel. You don't have to, but it's a lot of effort to go through without an orb personnel. And, you know, when half of the legal decks in a block tournament are TNG, and the other half are going to be the same thing you are playing, it seemed unlikely that, you know, it's really easy to turn off. You just fly a ship over there and nobody gets to draw cards anymore. Hmm. You have weapons at the wormhole.
It'll be interesting to see as time goes on if the DS9 stuff is given enough stuff to compete in block, or if they just have to wait until TNG rotates out. That'd be kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I can't even see, you know, unless you're playing like a super turtle deck and, you know, you have some way to upgrade your defenses and keep your opponent off your station. But, I mean, especially as I discovered this weekend at the tournament, like, if you're playing DS9, you're even more hosed. I mean, I thought coming into it would be Cardassians would be hosed because, okay, your opponent's playing DS9, you have to use the outpost, and then you have to try to take it over or do without it. But if you lose DS9, you're done. Because there's no Defiant.
Why not?
Is there a Defiant in block?
Yeah, it's in the reprint set.
Oh, I must have been thinking of something else. Maybe it was just this week because we played Sealed. There was no Defiant, but...
Yeah.
I mean, even then, you have to wait for the Defiant and pull it. There's no way to get it out right away.
I think last week we were talking about different ways to get the Defiant out early in the chat room, and I think the best way is either play a bunch of them and then use it as discard fuel for other things, mutation or whatnot, or... You know, go old school and play with a normal Q's tent and just tent for it and then use it as your card play, you know, turn two. That's still turn two before you get it, and you may not get a first turn of playing things if you go second.
Yeah.
You know.
You can easily have lost your station by then.
If you're playing an OTF and not block, I mean, you can put your station at Bajor and then not worry about being attacked and not worrying about, you know, the station ever being taken over.
Sure.
But there's a lot of other faster things in the complete to worry about. And having played, well, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but having played Bajoran in the Sealed event, it was interesting to try to keep the station, because I played against three Cardassian opponents and then you in the last round as a Bajoran opponent. It was interesting. And that's what I guess it was supposed to, that was the intent. Having people running around the station and running off and then coming back in time to defend it, and you know, there was a lot of interaction at the station. But do you have any more rounds left in this event?
Theoretically I have two. I haven't heard from my next opponent, but I also haven't gone looking for it. I thought we were supposed to have some kind of break for the holidays, but it seems like that should be over by now.
Mm-hmm.
As for obvious reasons, I haven't been, you know, really excited to go out of my way and find out if I'm supposed to be playing or not. But yeah, I think we should have at least two more rounds, or one more round, probably two. And I think I probably will sit down and say, "Plan TNG? All right. Congratulations, you win."
I see Ken in the chat says, "Play here by invitation and then don't play DS9. Just play the Defiant somewhere."
Yeah, and that was like somebody did that at the Sealed deck this weekend. I don't know if Joel's relatively. He said he was a 1E noob, or you know, older noob, like he'd played before but not a lot, and so he was. I think he just was like, I don't know how the station works. I'm not going to bother with it. I'm just going to play guys to my outpost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Well, I look forward to hearing how your others game. Let's put it this way. If it's a four-round event, the people you'll be playing in the last two rounds have also done as well as you, so you'll probably maybe be playing against other DS9 players?
Which, you know, and I at first thought that would be a good thing. And then we had the tournament this weekend.
Yeah, that's the other problem with the first set in block, and particularly with Sealed, when you're just using a starter and maybe a couple missions if you pull them in your boosters. There was a lot of mission overlap. Well, I had the alternate tournament, the one that started just before yours. It was the one more hurrah with continuing mission in its pre-errata state, so no erratas throughout the event, and everyone's deck stayed the same, and everyone used the original cards, and it was interesting to see what other people were playing. I wonder if this has got posted yet. 13 of 18, that sounds about right. I didn't do too well. I had a good time. Yeah, I played... So, back at Gen Con last year, there was the cool tournament, and I had this great idea of what deck I would play, because just about everything was going to be printable. And then I stayed up too late and got up too late in the morning and decided not to play in the cool tournament. But I was going to play a TNG Borg deck, because With the last set, there was a red drone who was universal. So that meant there's a red drone who's universal and a blue drone who's universal, and Locutus, who has all three dots, and Hugh, who has a green dot. And with Locutus and Hugh and a bunch of other guys, those are the only four personnel, by the way, you can completely staff Locutus' Borg Cube, which is the only TNG Borg ship, and move around the space line. I thought that would be a great idea because you get a free play with They Will Be Coming and a free play with Attention All Hands because they're just about all universal. And you get two card draws a turn because your deck is just mostly universal guys and a couple of uniques. And I'll tell you what, it was actually kind of fast, and I was in most of my games. I played against Johannes, who was playing Cardassian Romulan deck, and I got steamrolled pretty bad. I played against Buns, the player that kind of a new player, and the deck did its job. I saw I scouted a space mission, I scouted a planet mission, and then assimilated Earth, and that was 100 points. With the resistance is futile. Yeah, there were a lot of moving parts, and it was tough. I played against Daniel, who was playing a Bajoran deck. I believe it was a Bajoran resistance deck, and it was just a little too slow. Man, I wish I could remember what happened in that game. Is he in the chat room right now? No, of course not. It was. I want to say it was. It was not a close game, but it. I had a good time. I mean, it was a fun game. It was. It just needs one or two more personnel, and then you could actually do something. I think I had to adapt to just about every dilemma. Oh, you know what? Against Daniel, I started scouting before I got my Borg Viniculum, because 9 of 11, the skill-sharing drone, is a first contact guy, so you can't play with him. So you have to use the equipment to do skill-sharing, what little skills they have.
Right.
And so I started scouting before I got that. There was only one dilemma I was really worried about, and it was Ankarni Spirits. And it's fine if you're skill-sharing, because then everyone has honor. But I didn't, and there aren't any engineers in the deck. And that goes on your ship and kills a person every turn. It kills people every turn, and I'm only reporting two people every turn. And he kept I barely got my my space mission scouted, and then once that was done, I could leave everybody on the surface and keep working on planets. But I want to say he stopped me pretty cold at either the planet or Earth, because he knew where I was going. I wish there was a way to drop continuing mission first, like in the doorway phase, and then put out all your planets, and then download. Oh no, that's what I did. So that it looks like you're playing a regular TNG deck, and then play the Borg cube, the Borg They Will Be Coming, and just kind of throw people off. My last round against the guy who was running the tournament, Matthew Zeno, I was doing pretty well, and I think I could have. He was playing a finest crew in the fleet in the Delta Quadrant, which was interesting. You know, download a galaxy class ship with a space door, and then build an outpost and start reporting at the outpost, because you're using the text on finest crew and not the text on the outpost to report.
Right, he played a Ferengi deck like that against me.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it looked great. But he was also playing Tribbles, and I didn't have, once again, there are no transporter skill in the deck, so I couldn't move Tribbles off of my cube. So he got a big pile of Tribbles going pretty quick on my cube. I had to finish scouting before he got the 10,000 out on the cube, which I did at the space mission, thankfully. And then I can move the cube away and probe, because the 10,000 tribbles, once you breathe that high, it prevents all probing that turn. There's nothing you can do if you don't have any transporters to beam them up and get them away. So he had another pile that was slowly breeding on Earth, and I got the space mission done, I got my planet mission done, and then I started on Earth, but I was a turn or two too late, and he got the 10,000 out sitting on Earth. So I was like, well, I can't get any more points because I can't probe here. I probably could go try to do another space, but it's going to take me forever. He also flipped over a computer crash after I completed scouting on my space, so I couldn't go get my planet objective. I couldn't go get my doorway. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to look through my deck right now, because if there's nothing here that's going to let me get another objective, I'm just going to quit now and get my 25 points and be done with it. But
yeah.
I had another objective in the deck, and I had a change of plans in the deck, so I wasn't completely hosed. I waited until his computer crash cycled out on his turn, and then I played my change of plans and went and got my other objective. And then he nanoprobe resuscitationed it back to his hand, and then he played it again and just waited for me to solve my next objective to flip it over again. That's why it took so long, because I had to draw into another change of plans or get my change of plans back. It was a nightmare. The handicap that I put on myself was so devastating that I could not get past a simple thing like that. No queen means no downloading drones, means no downloading a change of plans. It was pretty brutal. There's so few skills in the mix with across the four personnel. It's just brutal. I think officer is the only classification. there's no engineer. There's no transporter skill.
So you're just relying on adapting past everything?
Yeah. So pretty much every mission takes me at least three turns, because I hit the first dilemma. Maybe I pass it, but I probably adapt to it the second turn. I had a cortical node implant or Borg data node that lets you download and adapt each turn. So I was getting plenty of adapts and playing them, you know, whenever I needed them. I don't think I was ever waiting for an adapt. It's just you have to have both Picard and Hugh not stopped to move the ship, and the Tribble, the one Tribble that stops a random person, I swear, he fingered of death. I had like 14 people on the cube, and he got either a Hugh or Locutus every time, so I couldn't move the ship. It was... I would not recommend it until there is a green universal drone with engineer and transporter skill. I think if I had those, that way you can solve... You can cure Ankhani spirits, and it would go away. It wouldn't be on your ship anymore. That was a big one. You can beam tribbles around, and you can beam the 10,000 off the surface. Everyone would have transporter skill if you were sharing skills, so you can beam the tribbles up one by one. So that's what we need. We need a green drone who's universal with transporter skill and engineer, and you know, does something silly. No.
Well,
don't look for it in the next set, unfortunately. I don't know when I'm going to be able to squeeze that drone into a set, but I'll work on that.
Well, okay, I have to ask, since you had so little skill coverage, did you think about trying to assimilate anybody?
Well,
since that's your thing?
The problem is, to do that, you have to fight people. And my guys were all... I guess I had... With lower decks out, my guys were strength of 9. The red drones were strength of 9. But not really. I really wanted to use Reassimilate Lost Drone, because I figured a lot of people would be playing with the Borg... Lore's Borg Collective. And there were a lot of them out there. That would have been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'd be worth points. And you could target anybody you want. But you need the Queen to play that, and the Queen doesn't have a TNG icon.
Wow.
So that was disappointing. I probably, if I was going to do it again, I mean, I had a lot of things in the deck that didn't come into fruition. I was worried that people were going to capture somebody, because if you capture Locutus or Hugh, I'm pretty much done. So I put in a transwarp hub, which is an outpost that you can play at Evade Borg Cube, because it's a nebula.
Wow.
And then I put a copy of Rescue Prisoners in there. Is it Rescue Prisoners, the event from like alternate universe?
The interrupt.
Yeah. All your personnel that are held captive are placed at your outpost. So
yeah,
that was the only outpost I could get. But it actually turned out to be a great thing because the whole problem with that is you have to start on the opposite side of Earth. Well, if you can get that the Pulsa Nebula right next to Earth, you can play the Transwarp Hub there. When you complete your established gateway objective, you get a doorway, and you can move from the doorway to the outpost. And it doesn't say anything about needing an engineer at the location, so you can just drop it anywhere at any nebula anywhere. There's no restriction. It just says build it at a nebula. It doesn't say build where you have an engineer.
Wow.
So that was interesting. I probably didn't need that. There was no capturing that I saw. Thank goodness. I probably, if I had to do this again, and I wouldn't recommend it, if I had to do this again, I probably would put in a few more change of plans, even though it's a bad probe. Assimilation tables and a few more Borg Viniculums, just some equipment, just because it was a big deck anyway, and it would be great to get those out earlier. Assimilation table lets you get the cortical node implant and the Geordi's eyes to take a look.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really matter most of the time. There wasn't a lot of planet dilemmas I was really worried about. God wasn't a problem because all the drones were integrity of 9 with lower decks out, or at least the blue ones were. So it was just a matter of if I see something there that I really, need to worry about, but usually I would just adapt to it, and you can only adapt to it the next turn. I think there was one opponent that I had that was playing multiple dilemmas across multiple locations, maxing out, I've got two here and two here, and I hit the same combo twice, so it was like, okay, adapt, 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 and I'm done. So,
wow.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a horribly, horribly handicapped deck, but I had a fantastic time playing it. I don't know if I would do it again, but it was fun. I probably would wait for a few more random board cards to come out first, and I have to know exactly what is needed to make the deck just at least functional. So maybe be on the lookout for that. We finished four rounds, and congrats to who ended up winning? Stefan, finest specialist in the fleet. Was he playing a finest crew deck? That would be awesome. I'll check.
Certainly sounds like it. Yeah. Sounds like another finest crew mission specialist deck.
Yeah. And that's fun, too, because you just play a lot of people and download a lot of people. And Michael Van Bremen came in second with Romulans. Johannes came in third with Romulans and Cardassians. It was a pretty good mix. So, anyway, I had a good time with that. And I had such a good time that I signed up for another tournament, another online OTF event, which I'll be playing again this weekend. I'm halfway done. We played two rounds already.
Nice. Well, having caught up on that, this weekend we had our annual special event, the Phoenix Tournament. And we started with, I thought there was going to be constructed tribbles, but then that ended up shifting.
Well, a long time ago, I talked to Donati, Chris Donati, and he was planning on bringing down a bunch of Santa Barbara guys. And he sent me an email to the effect of, hey, we want to practice what you guys are going to be playing down there, so let me know what format you're going to be playing, so like we can construct X and practice. And I thought, oh, construct X, he wants to play constructed, okay, let's have a constructed event. and it turns out that wasn't the case. That was a bad assumption on my part. Usually we do sealed in the morning and then constructed in the afternoon, or the other way around, so that you don't have to make a 1E deck and a 2E deck. You can just show up and build a deck on site and then play your constructed deck. So once I actually had a communication with Chris, we figured it out, and he said, no, we actually kind of want to play sealed so we don't have to build decks. And Kevin Reitzel was coming, and he hasn't played 1E in forever, so it'd be great if we played Sealed instead. And so I said, okay, Sealed it is. And we went to the DS9-style Sealed, where you get a starter deck from Emissary of one of the two types. You get a little draft pack with the engines, not warp core, reactor core cards. And then we'd open a couple of packs. There was some debate as to whether or not we were going to open and use what you get, or draft. In the past, when we played TNG, kind of a format like this, a limited format, we drafted the packs. You know, we opened up some white border packs, we opened up some virtual packs, and drafted them one at a time. It was suggested that we just open them because they were sealed DS9 packs, and that's always fun to open. And they were virtual emissary packs, and we would save a lot of time, probably about an hour and a half in a long day, if we just opened it and played. And I have to say, not drafting was disappointing. I would have much rather drafted the packs.
I completely agree.
On the other hand, it would have made the 5-hour tournament a 6 or 7-hour tournament. So the next time we do this, we're only playing one thing, and we will draft the packs. We won't have, I mean, we'll have triples afterward. We're not going to have a 4 or 3 round 2-way tournament squished in afterward.
Yeah, I certainly felt like it was a surprisingly early into the day for a Phoenix tournament. But at the time, I think that's why I didn't object to doing sealed. It was like, well, that would be faster.
Yeah.
Drafts, but nobody, I think it was early and we were all kind of chatting and nobody was really kind of awake yet. I think if we had thought about it a little more, we probably would have said, let's draft.
There were two champions of being playing just sealed, and they were the loudest, and they overwhelmed, their arguments overwhelmed my objections. So, I mean, you know, that's fine. Like I said, we will draft next time when there's not a second tournament. But we had 12 people show up, which was awesome. And we had an even split. So I dealt out 6 Bajoran starters and 6 Cardassian starters. And I think there were people on both sides who were complaining about what they got. certainly more complaints from the Bajorans. Of which you and me and I know Johnny and I think Joel all got Bajorans. I'm looking at the results here. I was in the middle of the pack. Thomas Weinberg, did you play Thomas?
No.
All right. Neither did I. But rumor has it that in one of his sealed DS9 packs to go with his Cardassian starter, he got Cardassia Prime and the headquarters?
Central Command.
The Central Command to match it.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's it.
Yeah. So he had his choice of free plays to location of his choice. I don't even know if he said, you know what, I'm not going to bother with this limit on free plays.
Yeah, why bother?
Yeah, you can play 3 or 4 people every turn. He went undefeated on the day. I'm looking forward to seeing his deck list posted. Wow. See, now if... Well, let's rewind. I did deal out 2 sealed DS9 packs to everyone, so he might have got them in different packs. But if they were in the same pack, there's no way he could have kept both of those things if we were drafting, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, at least I hope he didn't get the virtual pack with Secure Homeworld in it, because otherwise that would have just been ridiculous. I at least hope it was a dead mission for him with the free reports.
Yeah. And I kept looking at my draft, my real packs, going, you know, I think I got like 3 half combos, you know, not anything fancy, but stuff that would have been fun. And I was like, if we were drafting, I would totally get this right now, because I got my second rare was Return Orb to Bajor, and I was like, there is not a person in this room who unless they have this card would take an orb. You would never take an orb. And I was like, I could totally get it passed to me, and I would be able to draft it, and I could return it to Bajor. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. That would have been... I wonder if they put any thought about putting any of the orbs into the supplemental. That would have been interesting. Anyway, what did you think of the format, and how did it go for you?
Poorly. Is how it went for me. I think for all the bitching on the Cardassian side, I felt like they were at an infinite advantage. Just they basically had the run of the game. I don't know how Even, you know, unless you've got a really spectacular Bajoran pull, I mean, the Cardassians just overrun you. They got, you know, assuming for a moment that you can play card for card to keep up, they have all the power. Like, you got strength 5, strength 6, strength 4, mostly strength 4. I was desperate for strength 7 guys because those were my powerhouses. And, you know, he's like, oh, here's my universal strength 9 guy. And, you know, we all had all the sites, you know, access to all the sites. So, you know, they would drop Garrick's Tailor Shop. And, you know, Matt, he went first, got an Obsidian Order guy for his card play, which then meant that you could play guys to the, if you have an unopposed Obsidian Order at that site, you can play Cardassians there. So he played Universal guy there, went over and took it over, and that was it. I couldn't play, you know, I didn't even have a turn, and I couldn't use my free plays.
Yeah, that's rough, because as it works out, as we talked about earlier, the Cardassians take over the station, the Bajorans lose their free reports. If the Bajorans have the station, the Cardassians still get their free reports and can't lose it like the Bajorans can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. I had in my, was it my draft pack? My virtual pack? A Cisco subroutine, 197 subroutine. And that saved me from being commandeered at least once.
Yeah, I would have killed money for that.
Yeah, I think my game against Charlie, I had folks on the station. He played some people on the station. But I had more guys out than he did. He went off to do missions. I kind of hung out on the station until he was far enough away. And then I left to go do a mission. And I kind of baited him to coming back a little bit. And he came back, tried to take over the station. I flipped the subroutine. He was like, well, and now my guys have walked this turn. I can't do anything. It was pretty much a lost turn for him. So that was nice. Obviously, he didn't have the 4 computer skill or whatever you need to get past it. It would have been a very different game if he had taken over the station, because that would have been all my free reports. We had a really close game. He ended up winning, but he had to come from behind. I think he solved 2 missions on the last turn or something, because I got off to a good start, solved a mission, he solved a mission, I solved another mission, and then he solved 2. It was a good game. Most of my games were good. I think I played Charlie, I played Carlos, I played Kevin, I lost to Kevin. Man, that was a close game. And then I played against you, and, you know, I think I stole the 3 Vipers as the last dilemma in a combo stopped people every time. And every time it stopped people, I swooped in and stole the mission. I put it at the 40-point mission in Charlie and Carlos's game. And I put it in one of our shared missions in the Gamma Quadrant in our game. That worked phenomenally well. And, yeah, I feel bad for stealing your mission there, kind of.
I mean, well, we didn't have a choice. We were, yeah, small as final end, right? If we had both been attempting that, I don't think I'd be as bitter. But considering I had to go through, like, 7 dilemmas to get there, and then you came in and stole my fucking points, that was irritating. But, I mean, you know, we had, 8 missions between the two of us? So, yep. We both had Planet Space that weren't duplicated, and then and that was it. And, of course, my planet that wasn't duplicated was one I couldn't do.
Oh, you couldn't?
No. And I didn't tell anybody that, but, you know, because I want you to play good dilemmas there, but...
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have 2 greed. Are you kidding? I wanted to play Tosk. That was it.
Oh, okay. See, I was looking at the space line. I thought, man, your missions that we weren't duplicated, you had 2 35-point missions. So you could do those, and then you'd have your choice of any of the other missions, where I had a 30-point mission and a 35-point mission. So I had very specific missions that we shared that I had to do. That was why, yeah, that's why I had to run out. I had my eye on that mission you were doing. You got there before I did. I'm sorry you didn't have the greatest time. I mean, what Can you think of anything we should do differently the next time we play this, other than draft?
I don't know. I feel like it's not a good format. It's not a good subset for drafting because the Cardassians have such a distinct advantage. I mean, you know, maybe there will be some more cards in the next set that help out, but as it is, you know, unless we expand to like Dominion or something, I don't know, give the friggin' Federation a gun or something, so that, or add a Cisco subroutine to the draft pack, so at least you have to have 4 computer skill before you can, you know, it's not insurmountable, it's not a lock.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea, since the Cardassians get their play engine one way or the other. It'd be nice to give something to the Bajorans so that they can have their play engine at least for the first 3 turns or so.
Yeah.
Give them a fighting chance.
And Matt even said it, like, you know, he's like, I feel kind of a jerk for doing this, but I have the ability, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, and he even left after a while, and I came back and took it back, but because I just piled all my guys off and started attempting missions, but that, you know, 4 or 5 turns made all the difference. You know,
what we could do, I suppose, is just for the draft, give everybody a stratagemma and say, you put the station on Earth, there will be no fighting on the station.
I'm sure you mean Bajor, but then you have to put a Bajor in there because there's no Bajor.
Ah, fair enough. All right, well.
I mean, almost every game I played, Bajor was at the wormhole because we didn't have any Bajor regions.
Yeah. I'm looking at the results, and I see only 3 people have put in their decks, or at least marked what they played. It'd be interesting to look at this after a week. And if you came to this event, one of you 12 people, I want to see your deck list, or at least your affiliation, to see if all the Cardassians were at the top and all the Bajorans were at the bottom, or at least where they placed. How it went, because I'm looking. Matt played Cardassian, Thomas played Cardassian, Kevin played Cardassian. I don't know what Nate was playing. If he was playing Cardassian, then six of the top 7 were Cardassian. Yeah, I believe it. Well, that says a lot after 4 rounds and how it shook out. thanks. Yeah, maybe a Cisco subroutine would be a good idea. All right. After that was over, we played second edition, and I ask you this every time. I think if you had played, what would you have been playing?
I brought a deck. I was ready to go, but as soon as Neat left and we were down to odd number, I was like, you know, you people actually want to play this game. I don't want to, like, wedge myself in and then make somebody who wants to play have to take an hour off every round, you know, when I'm just as happy. You know, I hung out for tribbles. I probably would have, like, gone left and come back or something, but I'm having car trouble, so I got dropped off. But I planned ahead. I brought the new Firefly board game that came out at Gen Con last year. Yeah, I got that for Christmas, and there's a solo mode, so I've been teaching myself to play so that I can, you know, be ready to show people how to play next time we get together. And so I made some notes on that and did that. I brought my My Little Pony CCG, which JD and Charlie were all ready to play. And first round, after about 40 minutes, JD comes running over and is like, "All right, I got beat. It's pony time." which was awesome. So we grabbed our pony decks and played that, and it was just perfect. We got done just in time for the next round, and I went and played some more Firefly. And
isn't about a 20-minute game then?
Yeah, we played about 20 minutes twice. We did it in the third round too. Wow. You know, if you know what you're doing, you can sit down and start playing. Now, granted, we're still kind of learning, so we were using the starters. So who knows if it'll be more complex once we actually start building our own decks, but my booster box. Yeah.
What is the recommended ages of this game?
The box says 10 and up.
Oh, all right. Well, then I've got at least 5 years before I need to worry about this card game invading my house, right?
However, it is very easily simplified into decks that I've already created to bring over to your house with just numbers.
All right.
So you don't have to worry about the text on it. It's just, oh, this is a 3 and this is a 1. So, and I've that's a 4, so we have all the 4 that we need.
All right, I'm going
And
to.
plus they're shiny ponies.
Oh, yeah, they're ponies. I will use this, as JD says, as a gateway drug,
That's right.
and we'll see how it works out. I will give a full report on the pony card game the next time I play. I'm sure you're all anxiously waiting for that. In the meantime, there was a. It's been a while since I've done what I did. Because a lot of cards came out to really hammer multi-headquarters decks.
Right.
So I haven't played multi-headquarters in a long time, but I brought out a deck that was similar to a deck that you played a while back. It was a Dissident Romulan Terraknor Cardassian headquarter deck with two missions. And I'll tell you what, it worked really well in the first two rounds. I got paired up with Charlie for a rematch of our 1E game, and it was quite the opposite. I got out the Praetor at Romulus and started earning points, and then I got out Kira and started spending points, and the Tongos came out and started whittling his deck away, and Katra earned me more points whether or not I won on Tongo if it was personnel. I did my two missions, and I did my two missions and I sat back and started just building up points as he was doing his, trying to finish his missions. And he got through one and he was working on a second one. He went and attempted that mission that says, it's one of the, I think it's one of the Gamma Quadrant Dominion missions, because he was playing Vorta with Mouthpiece. So they're all, cut, integrity plus one and gain acquisition or whatever. So it
Yeah.
was all commodities and Gamma Quadrant, sorry, Gamma Quadrant stuff and Dominion. And the mission says when you complete this mission, your opponent may place two dilemmas under this mission to score 5 points. And I was sitting at 90 points or so. Or I'll take that back. He didn't have any way of stopping me from attempting with four people. I had four people who could solve a mission. Had I solved the mission, I was only 5 points short. So he attempts that mission. I'm like, okay, I stop you. I'll put two dilemmas in here. I'll score an extra 5 points. And it's like, oh man, I should have attempted this mission last. And
No.
I did go through my turn just to see if I could generate those 5 points between the Tongo and the Katra and the guys and everything else. And it happened anyway, so it wasn't 100% on him that he gave me the win. We ended up with like 105 or whatever. But it did its job. And then I got paired against Chris Donati, who was running this sleek. Expand business opportunities is the mission. God, the chat room is awesome. Expand business opportunities is the mission I was talking about there, and that should be an mission that you attempt last if you do not want your opponent to get the 5 points he needs to win. Anyway, Donati was running a sleek Cardassian deck with was it Ruling Council? No, not Ruling Council. Central Command,
Oh, yeah,
and
Central Command.
a couple, just a bunch of ships and the guys that get bigger when you toss ships. And what there weren't too many of those. It was Damar let you draw cards if you toss a ship. Is that right? Three cards.
Yep.
And wow, I since he was playing Cardassians, his deck started out about as big as mine. Like a 45, 50, 60 card deck or something like that. But by the end, he was decked. I burned off all his cards.
Wow.
So. It was, it went in my favor. I did my two missions, and I was just sitting back and gaining points. And he used one central command, and I think I burned two more through Dabo, and he was out of cards in his deck. So he played, oh geez, what's the name of the gull from? Was it? Well, the one that lets you take a card from your discard pile and put it on top of your deck. Oset? Gull Oset.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oset.
So he plays Oset. He looks at his draw deck to discard the top card of it. There's no draw deck there, so he can't pay the cost to get his central command back.
Oh, no.
But my dilemmas were stopping him pretty easily, just because he didn't have a central command. So it was like, okay, here's a Gomtu. Okay, here's an Issuous Trust. And
right. That deck relies pretty heavily on
using
those to get past, and he can't pay for it. Oh. Yeah.
So I apologize for the thousands of rating points that Donati probably lost in the game against me. Because he was up there, way high up there, and I'm down there, way down low. And I defeated Donati, which meant that after two of the three rounds, I was sitting pretty good, and I asked you the question that I guess only our locals would understand, but we could probably put it into terms that maybe everyone would. Who would you rather play going into the last round of the tournament with the you have to win to win? Johnny.
Neil.
Yeah.
Or Michael Van Bremen.
Yeah, exactly. The guy that wins 90% of his games, or the guy that has the craziest stuff that could pull out anything and probably knows your deck better than you and, somehow can look at the pile of cards that is his dilemma pile and his draw deck and know exactly what's coming up next. I don't know how he does it. I ended up getting paired with Johnny. There was a note that went out way too late to make changes to your deck, but there was a note that said, hey, we're celebrating DS9 with 1E. If you play a DS9-ish deck, which means Mouth of the Wormhole or Dominion or Homeworld or Athos Four or Home of Starfleet Command, any of those decks, you get an extra prize. Well, everyone managed to get one, but Johnny was like, yeah, it's 3 days is not enough time. I'm bringing the deck that I was going to play. And he was playing Borg. And if there's one thing Borg can do, it's clear the table of all events. So I need my events to score points.
Right.
And I did not do any of that. The Transer drone just made sure I never saw. I PNP'd him once, and maybe I Tongo'd once, and I lost both times, so I didn't get any points. I couldn't Kira at all. I was really looking forward to trying to get Cisco out, Jake out, to try to mill some cards into his discard pile. I got Dukat out really early, so I could make sure all the drones weren't coming back, because he was playing with the drone swap queen and all alpha quadrant missions. It's kind of like an old school, just, all alpha missions, and the only thing that was missing was the old quintessence. Now it's been errated, so you use it once and it's gone, which hurts, but, man, he still used it to, great advantage.
Yeah, it's still good.
The best play of the game, he went to Assimilate Resistance, and he solved it. Got to look through my discard pile and picked Hugh, the dissident, to reassimilate back into the collective. That was awesome.
That's awesome.
I ended up giving him points because he secret identity. I chose the queen and he brought in Locutus and stopped Locutus for points on a couple of dilemmas. And that led to knowledge and experience with the aforementioned Hugh to just murder anything I threw at him. So that was pretty rough. It was good game for Johnny. Good win. Since my wins were full wins and my strength of schedule was so good, I managed to take second, which is pretty good for me. I beat Charlie and Donati and just lost to Johnny, so that was a good day for me. One of these times I'm going to win with the three headquarters deck, but I don't think it's going to aim me anytime soon. That was probably the closest I've ever gotten, more than one winner.
Yeah, it was pretty close, yeah. So.
But it was fun, and everyone's like, three headquarters, are you crazy? And nobody played with any headquarter hate on the day. So I'm probably lucky that you didn't play, because I'm sure you would have.
If I had built my deck, probably, but I just went and copied something off of, I just net decked and threw it together. I picked a small deck, so it would be less cards I would have to pull out. And, I was just like, well, Deep Space Nine, I got the email you sent. It's like, oh, Deep Space Nine celebrated. So I was like, okay, DS9, Mouth of the Wormhole or Home of Seat of Starfleet or whatever, home of Starfleet Command. But no, then it was also, oh, Cardassian or Bajoran or Maquis or Dominion. And I'm like, this is not going to go well. And I'm really glad I didn't play, just sitting there listening to everything around me, because I heard two Dominion players and some infiltration and some lots of Cardassians capturing and some Maquis floating around. And like, I don't even know if anybody actually played. You were doing the discard. I don't even know if anybody actually played any DS9 affiliations, like, of those two. And I would have been the only one getting crushed by all the aggro. So I'm really happy I played Firefly and Ponies.
And Ponies. Well, and congrats ponies. To Johnny for surviving. We had 10 players, like you said, for the TUI event. And that was another league event, too. So lots of league points for Johnny. And then we split off. Since we had people from Santa Barbara coming down, we decided instead of doing the standard, well, we had 12 people for tribbles. So our options were one big table, which was quickly vetoed, or two small tables, and then, you know, the championship table, which was also vetoed because people wanted to drive back to Santa Barbara, and it's like a three and a half hour drive. So we just split off into two piles of six people. And said, let's play for an hour, and then we'll call it. Everyone will, shake hands, and then we'll call it a night. And I think we were still done at, like, 9:30, which, yeah, for a Phoenix event is early, but if we would have played another round, I think we would have been kicked out. So,
yeah, and it was a long day already, so I'm sure people were ready to wrap up.
Yeah, so I did prizes by just points overall, and it was a pretty good mix of table one and table two. It was odd that what I do is for tribbles, I say everybody give me a card from your deck, because everyone has different sleeves, and I shuffle them all together and I just deal them out, either for table seats or for, in this case, table one versus table two. And all the people who traveled got put in one table along with me and Johnny, and all the locals were with you.
I thought we can't mix up the Santa Barbara people so we can all intermingle, but I guess not.
I think I shuffled everything up and then I left to go move stuff around because we were consolidating. Had I realized what I'd done, I probably would have, changed it up a little bit, but it was already set and people were sitting down and starting, so next time I'll do at least put two people at each table, but it was a close round for us. I think who ran away with it? Donati ran away with our table, scored over 500,000, but it was like a slow burn. It was like everyone felt like they were in it right till the very end, and we all realized that we really weren't. How did your table go?
Similarly, in that we all felt like we were in it looking at the score, but then realized we weren't because TV was at our table. And, you should always just kind of allow for him to have like an extra 50,000 that he doesn't have yet, but will probably get. And yeah, it was pretty close. I think I went out for 320 once, and he had 200 or 300. He had got just past me, and then it was actually really cool. I kind of wanted Brian to win because we got to the last round, and pretty early in the hand. In fact, I think it was the first round, Thomas hit a skip or copied a skip or something, and Brian dropped 300,000 boss.
Wow. Awesome.
Into his pile.
Oh, man.
And we're like, oh my God, you have to go out.
Carlos must have been wishing for that, because he was sitting next to me and I was playing the 100 skip and clone and skip. So, sorry, Carlos. Although, after I skipped him once, and he was mad at me, the next time I let him play, and he didn't have it, so I skipped him the next time, because that's nice.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway. Well, it wrapped up a very long day. I arrived at Arby's at 9:58 in the morning, and when I got in my car, it was 9:58 at night.
That is as it should be.
Yes. I did not live the dream. I only ate two meals at Arby's.
That was going to be my next question.
No, it was no dream living. I was saying, and had only had lunch and dinner. But it was a good day. It was great to see all the folks from Santa Barbara and L.A. and Kevin come down. It was good to see Nate and Matt and all the locals make it out. I'm glad J.D. could hurry his drive across the country so he could be here. Something about when he got up at like 6 in the morning at Tahoe the previous day or in Nevada, he said, yep, I registered for the tournament because I knew I could be here.
He had been, I was like, man, you're really flagging. You know, I know it's been an early morning. He's like, oh, well, I'm going on like 26 hours. I'm like, what? It's like he had been driving since Utah.
That's what he said, Utah. Yeah. I registered for the tournament the previous day at Utah because I knew I could be there in time.
Oh, my God. And then, like, yeah, that was crazy. He napped for like an hour and then came to the tournament.
Well, I'm glad he made it. He was the 12th person. At the end of the day, we had 14 different people playing Star Trek because we lost, I think, who was it that had to bail on Tribbles? Somebody bail on Tribbles? Oh, no, you came back and we got Brian. So 13 different people overall. It's a good day. We've kind of slipped a little bit from our original Phoenix tournament thing where we have points all day long and, you know, but that was also over a couple of days when the Phoenix tournament first started. So maybe we'll bring that back. Just kind of have a running tally of what's going on. It just requires a little bit more planning than I had time for, as you helped me cut up the hundreds of sheets of cards that we needed for the sealed event.
The night before.
Yeah, the night before. So, all right. Well, it was an awesome weekend. Thanks again for everyone coming out. I hope everyone had a good time, and it was worth the entry fee. Everybody got those awesome DS9 packs. We will definitely do that again. If nothing else, I liked opening up DS9 packs.
That was cool. All right, well, that is a catch-up on all of our tournament report shenanigans. We have another tournament of an indeterminate edition as of yet in 2 weeks. Charlie's going to be taking over running tournaments for a little while because you're going to be busy, otherwise occupied.
Yep.
I believe I'm going to be out of town in 2 weeks, and so Charlie announced a 1E tournament, and I said, how about a 2E tournament? And he's like, okay, 2E tournament. So that I could be, I don't want to wait 6 weeks to play 1E, and I definitely don't want to play 2E. So there will be a tournament of some type. If you're in the area, come and join us. Otherwise, you can hear about it here. And that is quite enough intelligence for this evening. I apologize for going so long.
Someone in the chat room mentioned something else I should say.
Who?
This Saturday is the raffle. So I will see you online at a certain time, to which I'm looking up right now. The one thing that I have not done is posted all of the... It's 2 p.m. Pacific time. I have not posted all of the in-chat prizes, but I'm going to do it a little bit differently this time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a pile of prizes, and when I roll to see who gets it, you're going to choose between three items. You're going to choose a 1E card, a 2E card, or a Tribble. And that way everyone kind of gets something that they want. And the cards that don't get picked will go back into the raffle for next time.
You said 2 p.m. Pacific?
Yes.
On Saturday?
Yep. So it's 2, 3, 4, 5 p.m. Eastern. What football game is going to be going on that we will be missing at the 2 p.m. raffle?
I know that it's not San Francisco or San Diego.
Okay, brilliant. Then... there were I got some stats to give out about all the raffle stuff. It should be a good time. It usually wraps up in an hour. It's not that long. And I'll give out stuff to people who are here. And as Ken just yelled, raffle, expect to hear his name called a few times. His penchant for buying raffle tickets is ridiculous. So there you go. Thanks for supporting us,
like
Ken.
Indianapolis and New England.
All right. Don't care.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, that's Saturday at 4:30. No, that's 1:30. So these are Eastern time. So no, it's actually going to be New Orleans at Seattle.
Oh, okay. Care even less. All right. Very good. Oh, sorry, Ken. Or Jay. Yeah. All right. College
Suck
football.
Suck it, Seahawks.
Today. Yes. All right, guys. Let's wrap this up then. As you were saying.
Yep.
Thanks for the
interruption. We're done. We're out. We're out of intelligence this week. thanks to Warp 11, because they're awesome. We don't really use their theme song anymore, but it's cool, too.
Oh, no, we do.
I'm Sir Rogue.
I still put it on the audio. Yeah, I put it on the audio podcast.
Oh, nice. Cool. So it's there. Thanks, guys. I'm Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And we're tired from the Phoenix Tournament, so I'll remind you all to play cards.
And I will, Dan.
And you'll be double-crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31.